And then the Tomb Raider series, the reboot.
Gray color. Both of them? The yeah. Gray colors.
The Tomb Raider series. She reads
Tomb...
doesn't go and raid the tomb. She just goes to the door and is like, this is the tomb of Sarah.
Welcome to the Carnings Podcast. We talk about our favorite games, either game news, and just about anything else. My name is Matt, and as always, I'm here with my best friends, Marissa and Sacco. I'd like to remind everybody that there are no stupid questions, so I'm going to start us off with the question right now, Marissa.
Matt.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like my pacing is weird.
Oh, I think your pacing is very weird.
Yeah.
It's a rude thing to say to somebody who's trying to get through an intro.
Stop being fucking weird, man.
Well, you already got through the intro for one, and I meant more of the fact that you said you were going to be home 40 minutes ago.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about other things. You ever get...
Like what, Matt? About that.
You know, I feel like I'm starting to feel better. I don't feel as sick as I did for the past couple weeks, but I still feel like I sound weird. I feel like I still sound congested a little. It's hard to tell. Anyways, when you're feeling kind of down and you want to play video games, that's a great time to play video games. We talked about this earlier. When I was sick, I was too sick to play video games, but I started playing video games again. Let me paint you a scene of the video game I was playing. That's it. That was the segue.
That was the segue.
You're not going to say anything? You're not going to say the game you were playing?
I was playing Ghost of Tsushima. Shall I paint that scene for you?
He's saying the word scene, Zacho.
Because of the scenery. Marissa, what's today's topic?
Oh my god. Today's topic is where we can find a new mat because ours is broken.
That's so rude. That's such a rude thing to say to somebody.
Our topic today is which video games have your favorite scenery?
Well, let me tell you a story.
Matt, I guess, is going to paint us a picture of that scenery. He's a weird duck.
Speaking of ducks.
No.
The Untitled Goose Game. Fantastic scenery.
All right.
The 8-bit picnic that you destroy. Fantastic. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
You're committing to this one?
I'm not committing to this one. I just started playing it. I haven't beaten it yet. Mm-hmm. But huge, huge immediate front runner for me. Ghost of Tsushima is absolutely one of the most beautiful looking games. The scenery, the art style. I mentioned it like when I first said I was playing it. It is genuinely one of the most beautiful games I have played in a very long time. Even if you like don't like the story, the story is great, but like just looking at the game itself is a stunning masterpiece. My favorite thing so far is the wind, and part of the lore is that when he was younger and his like dad was training him, he's like, if you ever get lost, like follow the wind. Kind of thing. And then whenever you set a waypoint, that's how the game guides you. Like, it's basically like he kind of just follows his, like, it's, you know that it's going to like where your waypoint is. But if you set a waypoint on the map, the wind like over the island just starts gradually blowing in that direction. And it's like whenever you're trying to go somewhere, like the game just tells you kind of like follow the wind. So like when you have to get somewhere and you don't have a waypoint set and like it's like a main story mission, it like directs you in certain ways and it like blows through the tall grass and the leaves fall from the trees, and it's just everything about it is just so aesthetically pleasing. I'm really not doing it justice. Anybody who hasn't seen this game, like, just look up like some gameplay of the wilderness.
When the aesthetic and the thematic points in the game line up, which it sounds like that's kind of what you're trying to say here.
Yeah. So another thing is like the foxes are like magical and mystical, so they lead you to like Easter eggs and like upgrades and stuff. So like if you just see a fox in the wilderness, it'll like be a fox and it'll be like whimsical and like kind of like it's not just like it's not like just like
fox, but okay, so like,
if you see a fox in the wilderness, it'll like be a fox.
There's some games where like if you have to follow an NPC and they just like beeline it, like it's very clearly like a straight line somewhere, and you're like, oh, if you follow this person, they'll take you to treasure, and then they're just like very clearly walking through a crowd in a straight direction to the treasure, and it's like, that's weird. But like, if you see the fox, like at first, like it'll see you and it'll kind of like get like startled and be like, what are you doing? And like, it tries to like trick you into going the wrong way, but eventually like it brings you back to the shrine, and then you get the treasure or upgrade or whatever.
Matt wants to work hard for
it's secret stashes. It's definitely not hard, but it's like whimsical. It's whimsical.
If Matt likes the mechanic of the game, it's
definitely
not
hard. This is never
true.
Hard.
This is true. How dare it's just, I? Sorry,
it's
I said
whimsical and it's mysterious, and it's just the graphics are so good. And I know that has something to do with it, but the way the leaves, like one of my favorite scenes is when you're training, you're underneath like a maple tree, and it's just like thousands of leaves are falling down on you, and like it's a tutorial and it's like a memory because obviously you're a grown man who's murdering millions.
There would be no other option.
So it does it gives you a flashback.
Know nothing about this game. They knew you were obviously a grown.
So you play as
murderous people.
It's you play. You're in Japan and the Mongols are attacking. So you're like trying to defend,
obviously,
the city and your honor. And then
obviously
you have to like you have a flashback of you as a teenager. And it's obviously like you and your uncle, and he's like trying to train you. So you have like a stick, and he's like, block this attack. And like you learn how to. Anyways, it happens underneath a fucking maple tree, and the leaves are raining down, and it's just like bright red, and like the colors are so like majestic. The game is just beautiful. Sometimes when you're walking through the grass, he'll just like reach down and like put his fingers through it, and he's just like stroking the top of the grass.
Yeah.
Sounds weird, but it's super cool.
It sounds weird because of how you said it, but I've
phrased it weirdly.
That I know what you meant. Yeah. Someone was listening. Someone chose this podcast as the first one to listen to, and they were like, I don't understand what that means. Just trust me, it's nice.
It's a
he's weird in the way that he's describing it, but I think I'm getting the image, and it's beautiful.
It makes me feel like what The Witcher would want to look like if it came out this year.
You have to. Okay. Why did you have to shit on The Witcher?
I'm not shitting on The Witcher. I'm just saying it's like a 12-year-old game.
I don't think The Witcher has
the same vibe, though. I don't think The Witcher would make you want to feel like, oh, I'm sitting under a maple tree. I think The Witcher would be like, I want you to feel
it's
like
not
this
that
is an
you're
awful
sitting
place
under the maple tree.
And
it's
you're
like,
upset. Like,
it's
Geralt
like the
is.
Wilderness is like mystical. And
yeah,
mystical
but it's
be
not
good
mystical
or bad.
The same way because this no, sounds like
yes,
it's mystical in the way that like it's a magical Japanese.
But you're also like your city is crumbling or like your village is crumbling around you.
I get that.
Like,
but
a lot of the people you know are getting murdered
trees
by Mongols,
like they are in The Witcher.
They're getting cut in half.
Yeah, but there aren't fucking phantoms rolling around and wraiths and tree monsters and werewolves. I feel
Witcher
like these
sounds,
are two very different worlds.
The Witcher sound. I'm just saying, like, I feel like the nature of The Witcher would look similar to this game if it didn't come out in 2015.
I disagree, but it's
all right.
It is what it is. Sometimes it'd be like that, though.
It's just if you haven't seen Ghost of Tsushima, look up some clips of it. It's a
Ghost
very beautiful
of Tsushima
game.
Ghost of Tsushima is known to be a very beautiful game, so I do think that is fair. I just love how you had to shit.
I didn't
on
mean
the
to shit on The
process.
Witcher. I just meant well, like it gives me
whether
you ride
meant
a horse
not,
in
you,
both of them.
You said
if the Witcher was beautiful, it would look like
it could.
Yeah,
I feel like if The Witcher came out today, it would look very similar.
I don't think that's a good comparison you can make either, because Baldur's Gate 3 came out last year, and it is not as aesthetically pleasing as Ghost of Tsushima.
I think I shouldn't talk about games that I haven't completed.
Yeah, there you go. That's,
you should
that's
talk
not speak on behalf of the community.
All right. Well, I have one that
character growth. Did you guys hear that?
Matt,
is that some character growth?
Yeah, Matt. Does this really
character
great
growth
with
in here?
The character growth. Yeah, the great character growth of interrupting Marissa is still yet to be seen.
I'm working on
I'm
it.
I'm just waiting for that.
I'm working on it.
You said character growth because I said something smart, and that you did it while interrupting me. You did it while I was in the middle of a sentence. You said, wait, more important
appreciate
than your thought?
Me.
My thought.
More important than you, nothing. Please continue. That's a joke.
Fucking rude.
I'm not trying to be rude.
I know, but you are.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I know. Oh, no. Fine. I just won't speak ever.
What are you going to say? Sorry.
Becco, what do you want to talk about?
No, please.
I want to talk about the game that you want to talk about, Marissa.
Oh, crazy. So mine was going to be No Man's Sky, which
it's a good one.
I just love because one each of the planets feel different. For those who aren't aware, No Man's Sky is a space exploration game, and you get to go to a gajillion planets. Like, literally, there's basically no end to the amount of planets you can go to. And they're all, not all of them are necessarily styled very differently, but they pull elements. And so you're usually noticing a new thing about a planet that you're on. And some of the planets are so stunning in the choices that were made of how they look. And that was one of my favorite parts of the game, was just exploring to find those beautiful scenes and those beautiful planets. And I think even when you would run into like a really harsh planet, there was a really, it just felt like it was a harsh planet as well. Like, it looked like it was going to be something that I couldn't breathe on or whatever. I know there was also some planets that, you know, you actually land on and it like sucks the color out of it, because it's like, that's just the atmosphere that's on that planet.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that. It was, when planets were eerie, they felt eerie. When planets were beautiful, they felt beautiful. I really enjoyed how well the aesthetic tied to what the planet was actually doing. No Man's Sky is one of my favorites for scenery. And I know that's not necessarily a hot take, but I know it's not Matt's favorite game. But the scenery for me was one of the reasons I kept playing for so long.
Just a quick take on it. I feel like every time I started to try and play that game, my first planet was like a hostile planet with like no oxygen and a temperature issue. And it's like, you're freezing and you can't breathe. Figure it out. Or it's like, you're burning and you can't breathe. Figure it out. And I don't know if that's supposed to happen or if I just get really unlucky. The planets are beautiful. And it's like, it's definitely a game.
The thing about it, and I just want to say this, is generally speaking, the harsher the planet, the less infested by sentinels they are.
Yeah.
And so it becomes kind of a choice of whether you want to deal with the sentinels, which are really annoying, and they don't put you in to start with. Yeah. I don't believe they don't put you in like a hardcore sentinel planet to start with, or they have a little bit of a harsher climate. That being said, I also got put on like one of the harshest planets you can get put on when I started. And I know when Sacco played, he got put on this like nice, normal, he could breathe on planet. And I was pretty pissed at him because he flew through the tutorial and I died about 14 times.
Yeah, that's kind of
why I got real lucky with my initial planet assignment. I don't know.
It is a luck thing. I don't think it's supposed to necessarily be hard, but I think also maybe you are supposed to more.
I mean, just try and learn. And I was not willing to. I'm just like landing in a game. I'm like, why am I dying? Why can't I breathe in space? But that like that part aside of it, like the game itself is like extremely beautiful. And like it is at the end of the day, like an exploration game. And you could spend the whole time like not trying to do any missions and just flying planet to planet, and you would still have a great time. And like I respect that. Like I like the game is definitely aesthetically pleasing. Like it is, the scenery is good. You were saying like the planets feel like their own, their ecosystems are diverse enough that you don't feel like it's just the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. Unless you're me, and then you're just constantly dying, no matter what. But like I also like my, I don't like to, the game's learning curve was a little bit just too much for me, but that's unrelated to the scenery. And I would agree with you 1,000% that it is a game that is great to just do nothing and just fly around, just look at stuff.
Yeah, just jump from planet to planet and have certain planets that you go back to that have like a lot of carbon or dinitrogen, whatever the fuck the dye one was. The blue one they use for your health, your life support systems.
I was dying a lot.
It was like you would like run into a planet to be all purple, and like the water would be green. And you're like, this.
Yeah,
just, it just looks really cool. Good.
Yeah. Definitely a great scenery game.
Yeah, like really unique, and like that you're not gonna find that kind of scenery in another anywhere game else. In the same way, like with the weird creatures and the very cool. I got a couple. A Plague Tale Requiem was a pretty nice looking game. Had a couple That's outdoor. Great.
We're looking for games that people actually want to look at and not worry about the rats.
Well, if you just play the first hour, there's no rats.
There's no rats in the first hour, guys.
And you run around in the field Perfect. With your little brother playing hide-and-go-seek.
Nice.
And there's purple Classic flowers. And there's like a nice French countryside. And it's really pretty. And then you get caught by some soldiers and you have to burn the whole fucking place to the ground. But before that, it's like super Purple pretty flowers, and like green and there's butterflies. You walk through a little old ruin, like an old castle. It's really pretty. It's nice. Good game. Very nice looking game. Even the parts with the rats were also nice to look at, but I understand that
not for everybody.
The rats aren't for everybody, especially when they come at you in a wave of fucking thousands of rats. Little intimidating.
Yeah.
Is it super dark? Like, I don't actually know too much about it. But, like, it is kind of a horror game. Like, it is, like, it's not necessarily so horrible. It's spooky.
It's not dark. Like, so the way the rats There's work lights. Is they don't like light.
Yeah.
So, like, in the areas that are dark, there are spots of light that are, like, safe points that you can get to. And you usually have, like, a torch or some sort of light source so that you can get from point A to point B.
I didn't necessarily mean dark, like, there's not a lot of light. I meant dark, like...
Oh.
Like, it's...
literally dark.
Macabre.
I don't know if I'd call it a horror game. It is a very... It's a very stealth-heavy, like, anxiety-inducing game in that I played it this way or they designed it so perfectly where you're sneaking through an area... As soon as you get to the door, everyone in the room has seen you.
Yeah.
And so you have to sprint to the door, close it real quick, and then no one follows you to the next room.
That might be a design choice, but also having watched you play stealth games, I will say...
Not surprised that it's...
you are a bold man when it comes to the last little bit of a room.
If I can see the door...
I can make that.
And yeah. I'm closer to the door than the next closest enemy, I am just going to book it for the door.
It's the right answer. I think that's the right answer.
Yeah, because usually once you get behind a door, you like lock it or you block it with something so they can't come at you, and they don't follow you to the next room. Like they're always like they're basically checkpoints every time you get to a door.
Yeah. So I thought you were gonna go for one that I was gonna go for because I know we both played this, but Horizon Zero.
War.
I was gonna say Horizon Zero. So awkward. God of War is great. Great answer. I was gonna go for Horizon Zero Dawn because it perfectly captures the primal, like, dinosaur, Jurassic era, like, the plant life and the ecosystems. I never played the second one, but the first one...
The second one was even brighter and
prettier. It looked...
The first one was... Like, so it's like they the second took one? The first one and then just cranked up the contrast and brightness on all the colors. And like everything just kind of popped and it was just like really bright, like vibrant colors. It was really nice.
I remember specifically when they they started talking about the PlayStation 5 and they launched PlayStation 5. And I was like, the PlayStation 4 can do 4K. Like, do we really need next gen? Like, it's already, the graphics are already so great. And then I watched the trailer or like gameplay from... like Forbidden West, and like the colors and like the amount of stuff on the screen was like fuck, like I kind of want a PlayStation 5. And like it wasn't enough, like the one game wasn't enough for me. Obviously Spider-Man was the game that got me hooked, but like the game definitely pushes the next gen in a way that's like there's so much happening at once and like the processor is just doing more. So like I'm very excited to play that game. I am going to play it soon. But the first game is like the one I played. So that's what I'm going to talk about. But it perfectly captured like the past and the future because it was all the dinosaurs and like the animals were so ancient but also made out of metal, and like that aesthetic was just so amazing. And it's like one of my favorites is like the abandoned city turned to nature, like The Last of Us did it a lot, like where you're like walking through a building and it's just like overgrown with trees and like nature and like plants and stuff. So like this game was like that but just on steroids. Like it was like the perfect middle of a forest, dinosaurs, but also the future and like tech. And I'm using like a bow and arrow, but I have an earpiece that like lets me see shit. Absolutely amazing aesthetic and like extremely beautiful. So I'm very excited to play the next one, but I thought that's where you were gonna go because I know you played that game also.
Yeah, I wanted to go like this, like get there later. I played Tilt Worker was like an indie game.
Yeah,
so that was, I feel like it's nice to talk about indie games every once in a while because
sure. Not me. I fucking love the Sony games. Spider-Man, fucking beautiful. Love that shit. I have a couple of indie games. I'll get to them later. But Marissa, what about you? Yeah, another one.
I got another one.
We're going in a different direction this time. I don't know if anybody can notice. I don't know if you guys can tell. I just had to point it out in case anybody was curious. Usually we go like me, Sacco, Marissa, and in that, so that's usually the circle. Today we're going the opposite.
Ah.
So if you're listening to this and you're like, something's wrong and I don't know what it is, that's what it is. Marissa, please tell me your feelings. What are your thoughts on God? It was a joke. I just want to hear you talk about video games.
No, you don't, because
I do. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm doing it again. I know. Please.
Matt.
I'm so sorry.
I literally opened my mouth and you said, we're going a different direction this time, if anyone can tell.
You're throwing me off guard.
No, we're not. No, we're not going a different direction because Matt is still interrupting me. It's the same direction.
Matt, Marissa is the conch shell.
I don't like that.
Why not?
I don't.
What's that from?
Have you read The Lord of the Flies?
I watched the movie.
Do you remember the movie?
Oh, yeah. It was bad. Well, not bad. It was a good movie, but it was what happened to them was bad.
Cool.
Sad movie. Sad, sad movie.
Okay. I'm going to go in a direction that I know is a hot take in this one, apparently, because Matt disagrees. But The Witcher 3.
I didn't say that The Witcher had bad scenery.
You literally said...
I said it had bad graphics.
You literally fucking said The Witcher wishes it could.
I didn't say wish.
Matt, you know that The Witcher got a next gen upgrade, right? Like, I understand that it's not a native. Oh yeah,
Matt's playing this on his
my old PC.
Yeah, old ass PC with not like a 2016 old graphics card.
Cost me a lot of money at the time, okay?
I know, Matt. I'm saying one graphics card.
I'm not fucking doing that.
Within 8 years, Matt.
So I just for right clarification, did you say it's too expensive right now? There, it's been like that for when I bought it, it was too expensive.
It wasn't this expensive, Matt.
They're always bad.
No, they were fucking not.
People were bit mining.
I bought my 1070 for $500. A 4070 now is what, a grand?
Yeah, but there's an extra like two numbers in front.
But it's the same type of card. There should be the same price.
What I was saying about The Witcher 3, I wasn't saying that The Witcher 3 wishes it could be Ghost of Tsushima. I just think that it gives me similar vibes of like walking through nature, being in the wilderness.
I think your exact quote was something along the lines if The Witcher 3 didn't look so shit.
His exact Witcher 3 came out today. Ghost of Tsushima is what The Witcher 3 wished it could look like.
I knew it had wish.
I think
The Witcher
3
is the ugly duckling sitting in the corner that wants to be a beautiful swan, but it can't because it's ugly.
Which I disagree with heavily, and maybe this is because I played it a couple of years ago, and if I was to play it again, I'd probably get the next gen update because I'm not playing it on a graphics card that's 8 years old.
I still set the graphics to ultra.
But if your graphics card can't handle the full capacity of the graphics, they're still gonna look bad.
Yeah. No, I'm playing like the old version.
I thought it was a very beautiful game. I actually, there was only one cutscene where I really went, oh, I think they wanted to do more with that. But I really thought, especially when you're walking around, I thought the scenery, the landscape, the environment was an incredibly beautiful experience, no matter where you were. It had the capacity to really freak me out when you're in more of like the scarier parts or darker parts of the game. The lighter parts really did feel lighter, and that brought kind of a contrast between, you know, this beautiful field and the setting sun and these people hanging on trees because this is a very, very bad world. I really like The Witcher 3 and how it feels, and I really like The Witcher 3 and how it looks, and I didn't have any huge issue with it. Now, I also know that the goal, first and foremost, with The Witcher 3 was not necessarily to have the absolute best graphics. Like, that's not what their goal was. So I do think maybe that having a little bit, like for RPG, I was really impressed with the graphics.
Yeah. And like, but even like if you take the graphics aside, just like the environments, and I know you touched upon it, but like when you go to Kaer Morhen, which is like the Witcher castle thing, and you like, you're sitting on a broken wall looking out into the scenery, and it's a, like a forest, and there's a mountain and a lake, and
yeah,
like it just looked, everything looked really good. Like Skellige looked really sick. That was a really sick area. Like there were a lot of really cool like places that you could go that had like mm-hmm. such a mix of
like, yeah, that first scene where you like are out on a balcony,
yeah,
and you're about to go down to see Cirilla or Ciri, and
some people jump off the balcony because they don't think there's any fall damage.
And then you jump because you've been playing a lot of Dragon Age Inquisition and there's no fall damage. Or even if there is fall damage, you can never die from fall damage. So
and then
you just jump.
The rest of us turn around and walk down the stairs.
Yeah, and I don't like stairs. So I just jumped and then I died. And I saw Geralt's legs break in 20 different places. Like, I just thought that was a really good experience.
It was pretty. It was really pretty as I was falling to my death.
I wanted on the record that, like, I genuinely enjoy The Witcher 3. Sure. And I do think that it's a totally beautiful, nice... I think what I meant was just, like, if The Witcher came out today, I could imagine it, like, incorporating, like, a lot of the trees having the leaves fall down and, like...
Do you hear that? That's the sound of Matt backpedaling.
I misspoke. I didn't mean. I don't. If I said the words "wish," I didn't mean to kind of imply. I was never trying to imply that The Witcher 3 doesn't have good scenery.
No, but I get what you're saying. It is an old.
It gives me game. No, but it just like they give me similar vibes of like riding your horse through the grass and like finding like a place under a tree to murder somebody, and just like. Like the whole like big scary person with sword who doesn't give a fuck about anybody and they're like they're only acting on their best interests and like not on that's not really it doesn't really describe either of them to be honest but like just like the whole like you know riding your horse jumping off like attacking somebody with your sword very much was giving me similar vibes and I just think that like if the Witcher came out today I could imagine it like incorporating like a lot of like the wind and the leaves falling from the trees and like the very detailed grass that as you walk through it flowed with you, that gives me similar vibes.
Had that experience
yeah
with The Witcher 3, which is why when you're saying like oh the wind like felt so real I was like yeah the wind did feel real like definitely, you're like oh it could have felt real. Yeah, I don't know what game you played, but I played a more cinematic game than you did, I feel like.
But it like 1000% that game does have an amazing I was going to say like a cinematic experience, but I don't know if that's the right word. But it really like walking through the swamps and like the forest, like the ecosystems, I guess is the word that I'm looking for. We're all like so detailed. Like The Witcher 3, like I definitely, again, I wasn't comparing things is never great. And really I shouldn't have really went that route anyways. But
if you want to have time to talk about your million other indie games, you should probably let that go.
I had another one. Oh, Cyberpunk 2077. I recently started playing it. Crazy, crazy environments. Lots of neon. Lots of like really futuristic. What?
Love a good neon light.
You love neon. Neon's great. I feel like every like the city is always like it always has either just rained or is raining. So there's a lot of like reflections off the road and stuff like that. It's a really cool looking game. You walk into a building and like everything's glowing and there's holograms everywhere. Like it's just a really cool, really like live, like it's just the whole city feels super alive. And then there's like areas where you can like go out into the desert. And then it's just like such a contrast from this like city that never sleeps, is always bright, always lit up. And then you go out into the desert and it's like the middle of the night, it's dark, you can't see anything, it's just your headlights. Like it was just there's a good mix of the environments and like the, again, like it's just, it's a really unique game and like how they've created what the like scenery looks like. And I don't think neither of you played it, right? Yeah,
no, I haven't played it. Like I haven't even, to be honest, I don't think I've even watched clips of it. Like, I don't think I've seen anything other than the trailer, but the way you're describing it, like, makes me want to play it so badly.
It just, it's a beautiful game. Yeah. If it's nothing else, it's an amazing looking game.
But that whole, like, quite neon
fun.
Like, future.
I've had fun playing the game so far.
Just, like, the vibe you're describing, and, like, I can picture it, and, like, the neon future, like, the rain and the headlights, and...
Yeah, and you're, like, walking by someone, and they have, like... Sick. You can have, like, tattoos that are, like, lights, but they're, like, not tattoos, they're, like, implants, like, your cybernetic implants or whatever. And so, like, you walk by a dude, and he's got, like, a light, like, an LED light through his face, and it's just, like, it just, everything is just so... crazy, over the top, like customization, personalization. Everything's in your face. It's all bright. Yeah. Like it's really cool.
It's definitely like it's definitely a vibe.
Mm-hmm. Big unique vibe.
Kind of in a similar sense. Like I get different vibe, but very vibe heavy. These are the words I'm choosing. BioShock?
BioShock.
Yeah, you motherfucker. You would take the last one on my list, eh?
You can go ahead.
Oh, Marissa, you stealer.
Speaking of
topic.
Do you have on your mind?
Stealer? I agree with you. I agree completely with you, Matt, on BioShock. I did have it on my list because even, and this might be because I've played like the remastered, I think. Or, yeah, I think it's remastered. This is how much attention I've paid to the games that I pay money for. I don't even know which one I own, but I think it's the remastered one. But they did a really good job of capturing a certain aesthetic. And every single time I play BioShock, I am completely enraptured with the world. And thanks, Matt, for laughing because Sacco was yawning.
It's not fair. You caught me in the middle of a yawn. I would have laughed. It was a good joke.
All right. Sure. Yeah, sure.
I'm doing whatever. My best.
Totally. I was laughing internally, I swear.
I do love how beautiful the games are and the fact that they pick an aesthetic and they really tease it out to its full extent. And the fact that they can do this with the range of games. So you have, you know, BioShock 1 and 2, which are underwater in Rapture, and then you have BioShock Infinite, and that has a completely different vibe at the start, and yet it still feels within the aesthetic, even though it's completely opposite. You know, it's light, airy, almost heavenly-esque. And Rapture really doesn't have that feeling at all, but they pull it off in the same artistic style. I just really think they nailed the atmosphere so well in that game that the scenery kind of flows really nicely with it. And it's not by far, like, it's not the best graphics in the world by any means, but it's one of those things where I no longer care because it's so aesthetically aligned that I'm happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, with what the graphics are offering.
Like for me, like the one thing that comes to my mind is like when you're walking in the first game, and if you like you look out the window and you just see like the ocean, and you can like see like the big daddies like working on like fixing like their repairman,
like a broken tunnel. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you're like under, but they're like underwater, and it's just such a pure example of like what that game is, and like it just completely sets the tone, and it's like we are truly 10,000 feet under the sea.
Yeah. But even like when you're like for on your first descent in that little pod thing, and you get down and you're like you everything's all dark, and then all of a sudden everything lights up and you see a full city underwater. There's billboards and like skyscrapers, but they're like sea scrapers. I don't really know. And then you like enter the little like you enter the little like airlock thing, and then you like then you get the moment where Matt's talking about where you like you look outside and you're like, holy fuck, there's people outside in the water, and the only thing keeping the water for me is glass.
It's a great aesthetic. The scenery really like unifies it and just like amplifies it and makes it so much better. And like Marissa, like you were saying, like Infinite is almost the complete polar opposite, but it still feels like BioShock.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like the sea of the sky
style.
Yeah, yeah. The art style is very consistent throughout the series.
Like just being stuck 1,000 miles under the sea or 1,000 miles in the air. It's like either way you're like in this
1,000 miles, but yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know math. Since we kind of go ahead.
Yeah, I do have one more.
Okay. I was just going to say really quickly, since we shared that one, like Final Fantasy 15 is one of the...
We're all shocked.
There's a lot of Final Fantasies. And I think like aesthetically, Final Fantasy 9 is one of my favorites. It's very like steampunk. It's very medieval yet futuristic. I absolutely like Final Fantasy 9 is one of my favorite ones aesthetically. But scenery wise, 15 really lets you explore that world, and it is a beautiful world, and it is a game where you can just spend driving around and chilling with your friends metaphorically, because they're NPCs and not actually your friends, but they are. But like, just like honorable mention, Final Fantasy 15. It's definitely not like everybody's favorite Final Fantasy game. Like, there's definitely every Final Fantasy game has such a unique aesthetic, so it's kind of hard to point in one direction. But like, the scenery specifically for 15 is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So I actually have.
What were you gonna say?
Well, I'm gonna say Baldur's Gate 3, and I know I kind of harped on it earlier for not having necessarily the best graphic. It's a little shocking when you enter the game, because I had seen clips from it, and so when you enter your gameplay and it's essentially giving you like a top-down view, you know, you're not like expecting that necessarily, like I wasn't at least, and it looks very, it has an older school feel to it at first that you very quickly adjust to. But I will say what I really do love about the scenery is there's parts, and again, I don't want to spoil it, but there was a part in Act 3 in which you have to go to a very messed up, you infiltrate a very messed up cult, we'll say, and they have a creepy vibe. And like, I am kind of a loot goblin, and I was in this area and I was like, I don't want to loot, like I just want to leave, like I don't want to be here anymore, I'm creeped out. And despite the fact that maybe the graphics aren't the best thing in the world and, you know, that sort of thing, the fact that it was able to make me want to leave, which is the exact feeling I would have if it was real, like they really did add all the details necessary to make it feel creepy. And I've noticed that a lot with the game is that the details are still really remarkable in the environments, that you really do feel like you're in a place. And that's, it's a fairly big game, like that's really hard to do with such big maps and large areas, and like you can loot almost all the stuff. So like, I think they did a really good job of prioritizing what was important about the scenery and nailing that. And yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to that one.
Definitely don't need amazing graphics to get you sucked in and like make you believe that it's real. So like, I can see how Baldur's Gate would be one of those games where it's so powerful that it really doesn't need like,
well, I know I line. Like showed a, I think it was a Snapchat I showed to Sacco, and his first response was, those are shit graphics. Which was shocking to me, because by the time of this, I was already so much invested in the game that I hadn't really noticed them anymore.
It wasn't, but I expect them to be better. Like, yeah,
and the cutscenes definitely have better graphics.
Yeah.
They definitely prioritize the cutscenes, which helps. But when you're wandering around, it's not like it's bad, but when you're first playing the game, you might notice it. It's something that goes away very quickly, I think, because they did such a good job of making the cutscenes feel so real that you kind of don't mind that in between it's like a little bit less. Yeah, but the amount of detail in the world and the environment itself is kind of great. And it's one of those almost like gaslighting yourself things, because I keep taking screenshots of the game and then I look at them and I'm like, no, that's not how it felt in that moment. And it's definitely how it like looks, but I feel like there's something missing, and that's because I was so invested in that moment that I was seeing it a little bit differently. So it's, I mean, I can talk wonders about this game. I think it deserves every accolade it's gotten, but I do think the scenery fitting the moments and the atmosphere, they really did nail. And yeah, that's cool. Pretty much it. I can stop talking about Baldur's Gate now.
I know you're really loving Baldur's Gate, and the little bit I played on stream that one time was fun. And like, again, it wasn't like, they're not like terrible graphics. Like, it's not like it looks like a super outdated game. It's just the hype it got and the way everyone was talking about it, I just kind of assumed that the graphics would also be like ridiculous. But also, I understand that it's a really complicated game.
Really,
like, there's a lot going on the screen at any given time, and I get it. I understand that they had to like turn it down, and I'm sure like on a $5,000 crazy PC with like the top of the line specs, it would look insane. But
yeah,
on like an Xbox, I understand they probably have to make some sacrifices to make sure everything runs properly. And I got
not
that.
Even that though, but like, just like, because Ghost of Tsushima, beautiful game, it's like 40 hours maybe, like max,
yeah, right. And like, and the environments like, are just too big for them to really be like,
and the choices are endless almost,
yeah, it's
like, just, there's
it's just
so much
that there's
could
just a
happen
lot going on, and I get it, I get the compromises that had to be made to make sure the game worked.
So, like, I'm not really surprised. I don't actually know what it looks like. I've never actually, like, I've seen the trailers, which I'm assuming were cinematic. And
yeah, they were cinematic.
Like, the I've seen some. The
first cutscene you get to is very cinematic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not at all in the style.
Like, I've seen so pictures of the characters, but again, yeah. I'm assuming those are
yeah.
not what they look like.
Yeah, very similar to how they did Diablo 4, where, like, the game is nice because, like, and it looks really good because it's such, like, it's really zoomed in, so there's not a lot of, like, environment on the screen at any given time. The environments are large,
which is pretty much the opposite you get with Baldur's
Gate. Yeah, yeah. So what I played on Baldur's Gate, you can zoom way further out in Baldur's Gate than you can in, like, Diablo 4. You have just enough space to have, like, your character on the screen and the people you're fighting immediately next to you.
Baldur's Gate is such a weird little duck too, because, you know, I've gotten really used to on the Xbox Series X, because it's so fast, not sitting through loading screens, but the loading screen actually takes a while, and that's fair because it's a big game and they're big maps and they're big environments, and I get it. But the first time I was loading in, I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
this is unacceptable.
It when you don't have them for a while, it probably felt like
like
10 minutes, but, like, in reality, it was like 45 seconds.
Yeah,
exactly. It was like 45 seconds, but this? I was like, I was used to 10 seconds, and I was like, this what is year unacceptable.
2001.
Like, what am I playing this on the original Xbox?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Plus, it just has this little spinny wheel. Like, it's such a, like, low key.
Does it show you a picture though?
Screen too. Yeah, it shows you, like, pictures shows of, like, environment. Fun stuff.
I felt like Skyrim was little, like that.
No, Skyrim had the thing where it showed you an object, and it would, like, describe the object. Like, this is a pot. It held things, and you could, like, rotate the pot around.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, Diablo has a, like, the really specific story-based cutscenes are, like, they're still, like, rendered live on the computer, but they've turned the graphics way up. So because I have such an old computer, I had to turn the graphics really, like, really far down on the gameplay part, but there's no, like, slider to control the cutscenes. So my game runs at, like, 60 FPS in regular, and then the cutscene starts and my computer has a seizure and can't and can't run the cutscene, so the cutscene, like, drops to, like, 10 frames per second, and it's just super choppy. It looks like shit. But, like, I don't, like,
this... the only one who needs to upgrade.
Yeah, well, we have the same computer, basically. Running the same parts.
Do you have a...
Every time we talk about it,
I look at my...
Guys, we can do this anyways, off the podcast. I promise
100%. You. 100%. Anyways, the Diablo is not the game I want to talk about. I have two. I'm just going to rattle them off quick because we're coming to the end here.
Yeah, we're running
out. Arkham Asylum.
Beautiful. Stunning.
Vibes. Like, that is a game that is straight vibes.
My favorite part, just the longer, because it all happens in a single night.
Yeah, and it just gets progressively more. Yeah.
The longer you go, like, the more your cape gets ripped up.
Yeah, you just get all fucked up.
And, like, it never gets better. Yeah, and I'm like, this is fucking great. I fucking love this.
Yeah. Arkham Asylum was such a vibe. It, like, again, came out a lot. It's an old game. I'm sure, like, if you had it side by side with the game right now, you're like, oh yeah, you can tell, like, this game came out a while ago. But, like, at the time you're playing it, and it was like, this is the greatest a game will ever look.
Absolutely,
like,
stunning.
It was just really good graphics. Everything, the environment matched the vibe of the game. Everything was just, like, meshed so perfectly. And then the Tomb Raider series, the reboot.
Great call out. Both of them? Yeah. Great call outs.
The Tomb Raider series. She reads
Tomb.
Doesn't go and raid the tomb. She just goes to the door and is like, this is the tomb of Sarah. And then she leaves.
The second Tomb Raider, specifically, Rise of the Tomb Raider.
It's just a paleontologist.
Yeah. Tomb Raider, like the Square Enix reboot. Super pretty looking games. Like, and, like, the environment, again, such a wide, like, array of environments available.
Fun game, like, fact, Rise of the Tomb Raider, the second one, is the reason I went out and bought a graphics card. Because I was running a really old graphics card. And
I have a question for you in this moment, and I need to interrupt Matt for it.
That's okay.
I deserve it. Do you actually not remember the story?
Remember what story?
That Matt is telling right
now.
Oh,
no, I remember the story, this but so just awkward. In case okay, the good. Audience okay. doesn't. I'm just, playing along.
Yeah, no, I so just needed audience... to know.
I don't know if I've told it in a while. For the new listeners. But so I was the Rise of the first of all, the first Tomb Raider game, absolutely stunning, beautiful, gorgeous. Batman, also a great call out. But in the second game, they added like snow and it was like a lot more, there was just more going on.
Yeah.
And my computer, like on the lowest graphics, would just glitch the fuck out. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to start a buy a graphics card. And I definitely played too much money for it, but that's fine. It is what it is. It was worth it. It lasted me this long.
Yeah. And like the Tomb Raider series did a really good job of having Lara Croft interact with the environment a lot.
Yeah.
So in Rise of the Tomb Raider, especially like in the snow scenes, it actually made your footprints in the snow and like where your footprint actually would have been. It's not like just like, oh, here's a line of where your person walked. It was like footprint, drag a little bit, footprint, drag a little bit. It was like very well done. I know in the first game, one of the big features was like if she walked next to a wall, she would like put her hand on it. It was like just little weird things like that.
It's a big deal.
It was a big deal because it was like, oh, she interacts with the environment around her.
The other thing that game did was like each hair strand was individually rendered.
Yeah, so that was a like PC your hair only would, feature.
Well, that's where I played it. And let me tell you, the first one worked and the second one didn't. But then when I got my new graphics card, I played both of them again and it worked again.
Yeah.
The hair mechanic was fantastic.
Yeah, that was like an NVIDIA specific. You needed like an NVIDIA graphics card to run that. And it was really, it was really cool. Because like I said, like each individual strand of hair was physics based and it would like interact with your shoulders and everything. Like really cool looking game.
You're talking about like footprints in the snow. In the first game, like your face gets muddy and like you get muddier as your time on the island progresses. Like everything about it, super aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
The tombs were really cool. But my favorite part about that game is just the realisticness of it, because the first time you kill somebody, Laura's like, oh my God, like, did I just kill somebody? And like, she has like a mini panic attack. And I'm like,
has a panic attack and like throws.
Yeah, she's a panic attack. Like, holy fuck. Like the first time you killed somebody for the first time, there's so many games where you're like, people pick up a gun and they're just like mass murder. And they're like, this is fine.
Yeah.
It's like, you probably have a reaction. Yeah. That has nothing to do with the cinematics though. So I'm gonna shut the fuck up.
In Baldur's Gate, you can play as the Dark Urge and they have the opposite thing.
They get a little too happy.
They get a little trigger happy.
Calm down there, buddy.
they have a voice in their head telling them to murder everyone.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
Yeah. Anyways, more?
It's a good time all around.
Beautiful games to talk about, or are we good to
I'm just going to...
Oh my gosh,
Matt. I'm just going to throw out super quickly. I know Spider-Man is technically just New York, but it's very well done New York.
It's a pretty...
And like the swinging mechanic... Which I'm counting as part of the cinematic because you
are the pretty swinging mechanic.
The scenery of you flying through the upper states of New York and like through the air and perching on a building, like the cinematic experience is very much there. And I think the scenery has a huge aspect of that. So you just perch yourself on top of the Empire State Building and you just look out into New York and there's a sunset and the birds are flying by. So, like, yes, it's a very basic scene, but it's, like, done perfectly. Absolutely love Spider-Man.
Lovely.
That's it. That was it. That's all.
Alrighty, Roo. Let's talk about the games we're currently playing.
I'm currently playing
Ghost of... Has anything changed?
Ghost of Tsushima is fucking fantastic.
No, nothing.
Pokemon Go still fucking up shit with their updates.
Uh-oh.
That is all.
I don't think I actually have anything new to report.
We're all shocked.
Yeah, crazy.
I don't either. I'm still working on my honor mode run of Baldur's Gate, and Baldur's Gate is my life right now. So that's it.
That's a quick outro. Marissa, hit us with the real part of the outro that does the informational stuff.
Hit it. What the fuck hit us was with that? It. All right. Marissa, go. Well, I have something before that, you ding dong doodle bear.
Oh.
This is
Do you guys have any final thoughts?
No.
Don't interrupt your friends when they're trying to tell you an important thing or create an offer for a show.
All right. Well, with that piece of sage advice, then that immediately broke. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Crowned Heathens podcast. I have too many podcasts and I'm doing the outro for a different one. So I I'm a little bit lost, but if you want to watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/crownedheathens, check us out on there. We stream every Tuesday and it's a different game every time. So come check us out and see what the flavor of the week is there. If you want to give us some topics or talk about anything that we talked about in this podcast or video games in general or pretty much anything, please feel free to join our Discord server. Link is in the description of this podcast. If you want to follow us on social media and maybe encourage Matt and Sacco to post more, please do that at Crowned Heathens on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. Otherwise, we thank you so much for listening, and as always, we will catch you in the next one. Bye, friends. Should say by heathens. I really should say that.
By heathens.
Not like that. Never like that.
Bye.
Can't stop thinking about Spider-Man.
Yeah, I can see that.
Can't stop thinking about Baldur's Gate.
Well, I didn't mention Halo, so I win.
Halo's not very
serious. No, it's not the same. It's not the same either.
It's kind of the same.
Like you can... No. Halo to you is Dragon Age to me Fantasy.
Marissa also won. She didn't mention Dragon Age.
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard to not mention Dragon Age, but I know it.
Matt mentioned Final Fantasy, so he lost. Fuck you, Matt.
I would just like to say that Final Fantasy 15 has better scenery than Halo, so obviously I had to talk about it.
Debatable, but okay.
I'm not going to debate in the other direction, but I'll debate you with Halo.
Matt knows when not to take a fight.
I know my limits.
He wants to go to bed.
Them.
Yeah, he wants to go to bed tonight, and he knows if he said anything about Dragon Age, that would not happen.
Anyways,
we
we're
all
not gonna
failed
fight.
Because the podcast is not over, and we mentioned all three of ours.
Oh,
look at Puck Sacco.
Damn,
it is kind of cool. Like the remastered Halo version. I don't know what the combat evolved. Whatever the fuck I was playing, like the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah,
it was really fun like when when I went into a cutscene and Matt was fighting. That was my favorite part. And I just abandoned Matt.
I was gonna say how you can like switch it to the.
I was staring at a wall.
He's like, what's going on?
He was like, help me. Please.
I'm going to die. I was just gonna say how you could switch it from like the original graphics to like the like updated graphics.
Yeah, that was sick.
And like
that was
the
really
ring
cool
itself is kind of cool. Like it's not.
And
the
you
best
can't. I
scenery,
did my favorite
but...
part about that was like you were like, oh, the graphics are nothing to write home about, and then you switched it and you're like, wow, these are so great.
It's kind of good.
It's actually fucking amazing. This is art. Yeah.
But like the concept, it's. I feel like that one's more of an aesthetic. Like the scenery wasn't really there, but like the concept of the Halo is like.
Yeah, I just like you land on
that.
The scenery
would be better if there was a story.
Yeah, I guess so.
Hey, you admitted it. There's no story. All right, that's it.
Oh,
that's
no,
all.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.